rulers sneered at Jesus and said, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the chosen one, the Christ of God." Even the soldiers jeered at him. As they approached to offer him wine, they called out, "If you are king of the Jews, save yourself." Above him, there was an inscription in red, "This is a king of the Jews." Now, one of the criminals hanging there reviled Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." The other, however, rebuking him, said in reply, "Have you no fear of God? For you are subject to the same condemnation. And indeed, we have you condemned justly, for the sentence we receive corresponds to our crimes. But this man has done nothing criminal." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied to him, "Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
All their neighbors with kings, and they like the fact that they have kings because they look cool and represent the people, and they look like a sort of disorganized band of sheep herders without a king. So they go to the prophet and they ask for a king. The prophet says, you don't want a king. He will tax you for your money, for your flocks and your crops, and he will conscript your kids in the army. They said, no, I don't know why. We want a king. So you really don't want a king. God's your king right now. That's the way this is supposed to be. Don't make me into a king. But they complain so much, God has a problem giving them a king. And what's the first thing he does? Well, he taxes them and takes their kids. When Saul ultimately fails, and David takes his place, not everyone is agreeable. Saul's kin won't accept David as the new king, and it's not until Saul's son shows himself to be a greater failure than his father that the ten tribes, the guys from the north, not David's neighborhood, that they are willing to accept David as king. And that's where today's history comes from. Did you hear what they said when they asked David to be their king? We are bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. That sounds familiar. It's what the man says when he eats the woman, what Adam says when he eats Eve in the garden. You are bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. It's a declaration of kinship. Adam recognizes the woman as well like him, the one fit to be his helpmate, his partner. These tribes who refused to recognize David as king now recognize him, and they claim him as their king. He doesn't have to invade the territory, take their women, children, and money. They claim him as their king. Kingship is a kind of kinship. When we claim someone as our king, we're making ourselves subject to them. We're entrusting ourselves to them. There's a hint of this even in our own national pride, right? Because our country started out the idea that kings are a really bad idea, which is why things that look too deeply attached to church make most of us feel nervous. That's part of why I do it, because I don't need to be nervous. Our country is founded on the idea that kings are a real bad idea because of the country we were founded from. And so we took their hymn to the king. God save our gracious king. God save our gracious king. Larry, I'm glad you're here. I just missed that church. And we made this song not about the president, the Congress, but about the country itself. My country is of thee. Now the country's king. So we shouldn't be surprised that sometimes we only Catholics have a hard time figuring out whether we're Catholics or Christians first or Americans first. You see what happened? We have to be very careful whom we claim as king in our lives. Because if you make yourself subject to the wrong person, or the wrong thing, or the wrong idea, you will go very quickly from being a subject to being a slave. The Lord reveals himself as king today most perfectly on the cross. This looks like no problem. Naked, beaten, and nailed to a tree is no way to be king of the mountain. But this is the kingship which God had in mind from the beginning. Not who's the biggest and the toughest and the strongest. Not who's willing to rule by fear and coercion. Not the one who's going to make himself king over you. But the one who stands willing to give everything up for you so that you would willingly claim him as king, even as you as kin. Hanging on the cross, suffering, bleeding, dying. Reviled by those who should make them, who should make him their own, who should claim this king. Jesus makes himself the king of thieves. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. We are fortunate, so fortunate, to have as our Lord and Master one who does not shrink from suffering for us. A king who is willing to rule, not from a throne or a palace, from a cross and an altar. On the cross, Jesus reveals the fullness of what it means to be a human being. That from which we most shy, that which we want most protection from, suffering, death, discouragement, betrayal, all the badness of all the world, the worst things that have happened to you, and the worst things you can imagine at night when you can't sleep, all of that he takes on and makes new. He makes the worst thing that has ever happened to you the occasion, the possibility for the best thing that could ever happen to you. He gives you the power to overcome sin and bad habits and messed up relationships and screwy families and holidays you don't want to celebrate. He gives you the power, you, to make your suffering count. To make your crosses self-evident, he gives you the power to share in the saving of the world. I knew you weren't wearing a party hat today. But the reason for the pom-pom on top, it's the same reason the bishop's hat is not the way it is. It's to remind you of a flame. Each of us. By water and anointed by the Holy Spirit, have a flame invisibly flickering over our heads, as the apostles did at that first time. The question is whether or not today you can claim that as a crown, whether or not you're willing to make yourselves fit subjects so that you will be fit to rule, to reign.